At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Racial tensions had been simmering in Fort Worth well before the controversial arrest of Jacqueline Craig by a police officer in December, so said a report from the National League of Cities. The NLC found big differences in the way council members, city staff, and community leaders perceived racial tensions and inequity in the city. For example, city officials said they believe racial inequity exists because of differences in how city government treats its residents. However, minority community leaders say the disparity exists because of inequities in political power, education, jobs, and economic development. The report also makes five recommendations on how to build racial equity in Fort Worth. The City Council invited the NLC to look for ways to improve race relations following the controversy surrounding a white police officer's arrest of Craig and her two teenage daughters, all three of whom are black. Craig called 911 after a neighbor allegedly choked her young son. East Texas could lose its status as the patent litigation capital of the U.S. Patent attorneys favor the Eastern District because of its speedy trials and a property rights-friendly jury pool. But a U.S. Supreme Court decision last week changed where those trials can be held. Now a company can only be sued where they are registered or has a regular and established base of business. John Allison is a business professor at UT Austin.
You know, unless they were formed in Texas, not very many corporations are incorporated in Texas. And actually, most Texas corporations are incorporated in Delaware. And so you're going to have, I suspect, a huge shift in patent infringement cases from the Eastern District of Texas to the District of Delaware.
A 1990 appeals court decision previously allowed a patent case to be heard wherever a company had bought, sold, or shipped a product. A group of architecture buffs this week got a sneak preview of the Statler Hilton in downtown Dallas. The hotel became a celebrity magnet when it opened in the 1950s. 20 years later, the Statler is where Tina Turner famously dumped her abusive husband, Ike. Abandoned since 2001, it's now being transformed into a hotel and apartment building. For our Friday conversation, Rick Holter talked with Stephanie Meeks, the president of the National Trust for Historic Preservation.
What do you think when you stand in a building like this?
Well, I actually stood in this building once before in 2010, before the renovation.
Oh, boy.
And so it's quite remarkable
to be
here. And
it had been empty for almost a decade.
And it had been empty, and it was a little spooky, actually. There were remnants of the hotel that it was as if it had just been abandoned. So it's great to walk back, and it looks fantastic.
This building's been empty for 16 years. For years, it was kind of like a modernist tombstone at the end of downtown. A lot of people in this town gave up hope that it could ever be reborn. How do you fight that sense of hopelessness?
You know, it's one of the things I've learned since becoming the president of the National Trust for Historic Preservation is how long preservation takes. It really is a long game. Wins don't usually happen very quickly, and the Statler is a good example of that.
The National Trust made its name protecting old structures, older than this, places like Lincoln's Cabin in Washington, D.C. It must be a challenge getting people who are interested in that kind of preservation interested in buildings like this one.
Well, you'd be surprised. So what our research shows us is that these millennials love the benefits of preservation. They like historic buildings, they like historic districts, but they don't always have a deep understanding of what's gone into protecting them.
It also can be a challenge, though, price-wise, for a generation that's kind of been treading water financially.
And one of the things that we've been increasingly researching at the National Trust is this question of affordability and historic buildings. We released a new report last November called the Atlas of Reurbanism. And in that, we mapped historic buildings in 50 cities, including Dallas. And one of the things that we saw consistently across all 50 cities is that blocks that have a mix of old and new buildings have many more affordable housing units than blocks with just new buildings. So preservation and affordability can go hand in hand. And these historic buildings really are playing a very important role in terms of providing housing, but also business opportunities for people across the economic spectrum.
You've spent a lot of time on gentrification, a process that some describe as elitist, forcing folks out of rundown neighborhoods so younger, upscale people can move in. KERA's just finished a series on the people of West Dallas called One Crisis Away, No Place to Go. What role does preservation have in giving those people someplace to go?
Too often I find people link gentrification and preservation together, as if one is necessarily the cause of the other. And our research just hasn't borne that out. I also can cite several examples across the country of communities that are gentrifying without displacing a single resident. And the key, and there's only one key that I've been able to discover, is that they decided at the very beginning that that's what they wanted to do.
Downtown Dallas has been dead for many, many years. It has seen a number of downtown office towers in the last decade or so retooled as apartments. Yet we're still just a few blocks from where a 129-year-old building was knocked down 3 years ago to build a high fashion store. The history of preservation here is pretty checkered. Why do cities like Dallas have such trouble embracing historic preservation?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. In part, not having a full understanding of the value that historic buildings are bringing to the community, which is why the National Trust has been investing in a lot of research to document empirically how older and historic buildings are supporting women and minority-owned businesses, are supporting small businesses, are supporting affordable housing. At the same time, preservation is not a perfect science. And in every city across the country, we continue to fight the good fight. There isn't a city that I can point to that has a perfect track record on preservation, unfortunately.
Stephanie Meeks is president of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chance of rain through tomorrow. Expect a high today near 84.